Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's speaker will be Thomas Warren, former Omaha Police Chief, and newly appointed Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Nebraska. He'll speak on the topic, The Urban League of Nebraska, the Past, Present, and Future. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, March 20th, 2008, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Kerr, chairman of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. Our Press Club noon forums are held once a month, and they are open to the public. You do not have to be a Press Club member to attend. Well, Tom Warren surprised everybody last January when he announced he would leave his job as chief of the Omaha Police Department to become the new president and CEO of the Urban League of Nebraska, what he described as his dream job. Tom Warren certainly faced many challenges as police chief, but he will also face many challenges as executive director of the Urban League. At the end of our forum, Tom will take questions from our audience. There is paper and pencil at your tables. Please write down your questions, and they will be brought to me to ask from the podium. So, welcome the new head of the Urban League here in Omaha, Tom Warren.
Thank you, Gary, and good afternoon. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be invited to be the guest speaker for the noon hour here at the Press Club. My thanks also goes to Doug Rousman, who initially invited me to make this presentation. I'm here to talk a little bit about the Urban League of Nebraska, the history of the Urban League, what we're doing presently, as well as what we intend to do in the future. At the same time, I will certainly refer to my years of experience with the Omaha Police Department. As Gary indicated, having retired after 24 years of service, the last four as chief of police. And then we'll leave plenty of time for questions and answers, and that tends to be the most engaging portion of the presentation, so make sure you sharpen up your pencils so that you can submit those questions. As Gary mentioned, I went to work for the Urban League of Nebraska in January of this year. Tell you a little bit about the Urban League of Nebraska. It's a nonprofit organization that provides programs and services to African Americans and others and seeks to eliminate social and economic inequality. Our mission is to be an empowering voice for the community, advocating for economic self-reliance, civil rights, and equal opportunity for all. Our goal is to close the social and economic gap in African American community and other emerging ethnic communities and disadvantaged families, with the goal being the achievement of social and economic equality, independence, and growth. And so that's our mission. That's our purpose. The Urban League of Nebraska is affiliated with the National Urban League. There are over 100 affiliates in 36 states across the United States of America. Our headquarters is in New York City. The national president of the Urban League is Mark Mariel. Mark was formerly a mayor of the city of New Orleans. The National Urban League has a rich history and tradition. Some of the previous presidents and CEOs at the national level, distinguished individuals like Vernon Jordan. Vernon Jordan was a chief advisor to President Bill Clinton. We've had Presidents John Jacobs, Hugh Price, and again, currently Mark Mariel serves as the national president. And here on the local level, we've had individuals like Whitney Young. Whitney Young was actually a president and CEO of the Urban League of Nebraska. He was actually a social work instructor at Creighton University, and he rose to be national president of the Urban League prior to his untimely death. Historically, with respect to the Urban League, it is a 100-year-old agency. The Urban League was actually founded in 1910, nearly 100 years ago. The founders, a lady by the name of Ruth Standish Baldwin, and Dr. George Haynes. Dr. George Haynes was the first African-American to graduate from Columbia University. And they were social workers. And so the organization was founded by social workers with the intent to provide a resource for African-Americans who were migrating from the South as they moved north to cities like New York to assist them in finding housing and jobs, and certainly providing a welcoming environment for those individuals as they migrated into a different part of the country. And so even here in Nebraska, the Urban League served that purpose as individuals migrated from the South, many pursuing employment at the packing houses, and which was the primary industry in the 40s and the 50s. The Urban League of Nebraska served that same purpose, providing support in areas of housing and employment. The National Urban League, it has five primary purpose areas, and I'll describe them in general: education and youth development, employment and economic empowerment, housing, health, civil rights, and racial justice. And so those are the primary purpose areas for the National Urban League, and we follow that model here in Omaha. I had an opportunity to engage our national leadership just this past week. We were in Washington, D.C. at our Legislative Policy Caucus. And the National Urban League, we release a publication every year. And this year, we released our State of Black America 2008. And it's through the voice of a black woman. And during this engagement, it provided me not only with an opportunity to network with CEOs from around the country, and being new, it was a wonderful opportunity. It was invaluable just to be exposed to the leadership on the national level, not only within the national office, but within the movement with those CEOs in cities like Chicago and Dallas and some of those larger metropolitan areas. But we released the State of Black America 2008 through a black woman's voice. It provided me with an opportunity to engage our congressional delegation. And I was fortunate to have had relationships with both senators, Senator Hagel, as well as Senator Nelson. And I had an opportunity to spend some time with Congressman Lee Terry. And partly due to my past position with the Omaha Police Department, and certainly they were gracious enough to give me some of their personal time to visit with them and to present issues, not only on a national level with our legislative agenda, but certain local issues that we're dealing with here in the city of Omaha. And just worth noting, the reason it was presented through the eyes of a black woman or the voice of a black woman, there were several guest essayists in this publication. Notable individuals like Dorothy Irene Height of the National Conference of Negro Women, former Secretary of Labor Alexis Herman presented an essay, Dr. Julianne Malveaux, who's president of Bennett College, Dr. Janetta Cole, amongst others. And they even actually were present during the press release for the publication and served on a panel. So it was quite an engaging question and answer session with those distinguished individuals. But as I mentioned, this publication, partly statistical, but also partly presented through the eyes of a black woman, because certain facts bear out in the African-American community. It was noted in this publication that an estimated 45% of African-American households are headed by a female. Two out of three children born in an African-American community are born in a single-parent household. It was estimated that in 2006, 50% of the mortgages that were approved were subprime. And as you know, we're dealing with a financial catastrophe this subprime lending crisis and the potential impact it will have on the African-American community could be traumatic. And so when you look at data like that, 45% of the homes headed by a female, 2 out of 3 children being born out of wedlock, and 50% of the mortgages approved being subprime in nature, and recognizing that there's a correlation there. And, of course, this subprime lending crisis will cross social and economic strata, urban and suburban. It will have a much worse impact. Even here in Omaha, east of 72nd, east of 42nd, and it's been projected that it will be the largest financial catastrophe in the history of the United States as it impacts African-American and Latino communities. And so these challenges, because we know in the black community that women have a critical role, and we have to recognize and acknowledge the fact that in non-traditional settings, oftentimes women may be the primary breadwinner. Certainly they're providing the parental support and guidance to our youth, and there needed to be sufficient recognition and acknowledgement of those facts. The publication also illustrated certain other disparities that exist here in the United States, and the Urban League has a equality index where they look at disparities in those areas that I mentioned: education, employment, housing, health, civil rights, and racial justice. It appeared that between 2006 and 2007, things remained the same practically in all of those areas. The gain was slight. The index, and again, it's a measurement of all these social and economic factors. In 2006, it was 72.6 compared to 2007, where the index was 73%. So there was a slight statistically insignificant gain, if you will, in those areas. However, for the most part, things are status quo, or it's as if we're treading water. And so there were a couple of areas where there were statistically significant gains, if you will. In the area of social justice, it was reported that the disparity in sentencing, the gap has narrowed. African Americans and the majority population being charged with the same offense in the past, there was a wide disparity in the sentences that were rendered. The data that was provided indicated that if convicted of the same offense, African Americans would average 44 to 47 months of incarceration. Caucasians would average between 30 to 33 months, and that was in 2006. In 2007, it was 40 to 44 months for African Americans, 33 to 37 months for Caucasians. And so that gap is narrowing somewhat, and this data doesn't include the change that would occur as a result of the federal sentencing guidelines being changed with respect to the mandatory sentencing for crack cocaine offenses. And we know that there's a significant disparity with respect to sentences rendered for crack cocaine versus powder cocaine. As I mentioned, we presented our legislative agenda. The National Urban League, we published what's called an opportunity impact. I'm sorry, opportunity compact, and it's a publication that's a blueprint for economic equality. And you'll find that many of these recommendations are starting to show up in speeches and are becoming part of the national platform for many of the candidates for elected office. And the four areas that we concentrate on are the opportunity to thrive, which is getting a good quality education, the opportunity to earn, which is getting a decent job and earning a decent wage, the opportunity to own, which is housing, and the opportunity to prosper, which we encourage entrepreneurship. And these are things that are very basic. And when you talk about closing the gap in terms of social and economic opportunities, ensuring that all youth receive a good quality education isn't too much to ask for. But we know that there are wide disparities in academic achievement, even right here in the city of Omaha and within Omaha Public Schools District. We know that there's a disproportionate higher rate of dropouts for African-American students, estimated at up to 50%. We know that there's a problem with truancy and just encouraging young adults to attend school every day and to be there on time and to show up with a good attitude, ready to learn. And so as an organization, we're attempting to address those inequalities. With respect to jobs, whether it's youth employment, whether it's the exponentially higher rate of unemployment for African Americans, the difficulty that ex-offenders have in obtaining gainful employment, I mean, those are real challenges. And certainly, if we are headed towards a potential recession, you know that those that are already underemployed or unemployed will be impacted even that much more dramatically. And as I mentioned, this housing crisis, I mean, home ownership is the one, probably the single most capital asset that a person has. It's the American dream. And what we're seeing here with this subprime lending crisis is that individuals are just throwing their hands up and they're walking away. They're walking away from their homes. They're walking away from their mortgages. It's ruining their credit. Some are filing bankruptcy. And there's been really no intervention up to this point. And the potential impact that this will have even on a local community or economy. Think about the property values and how they will be impacted when you have those for sale signs going up in neighborhoods and you have people that have negative equity. I'm not even sure if that's a real term, but I've heard the phrase negative equity. It's kind of an oxymoron. We always refer to it as being underwater, because basically you're drowning. People are or have purchased homes that they probably couldn't afford. They're falling behind on their mortgage payments. The homes are not being sold in a timely manner. If they didn't have equity in their home and being forced to sell it below market value, they're engaging in these transactions at a loss. At a significant loss, and that's even if they're able to move the property. So I guess that's what they refer to as a negative equity. But it's quite a predicament. And, of course, those that are already barely making ends meet will probably be impacted more significantly. And so as an agency, here on the local level, we are a direct service provider, unlike many of the traditional civil rights organizations that are volunteer-based in nature. The Urban League is a service provider. We provide assistance and consultation to those individuals that may be seeking assistance with employment. We also promote education through various programs. In youth development, we collaborate with a number of organizations. If we don't have anyone on staff that has expertise in areas of housing or health, we'll refer clients to agencies like the Family Housing Advisory Service. And it was interesting. It's a nonprofit organization that is in close proximity to the Urban League. Their executive director, Teresa Hunter, and I, we exchange information very often. And she advised me that this year alone, the first 2 months of 2008, they've seen more clients for foreclosure mitigation counseling than they did in all of 2007. And so we know that this is a real issue and it's impacting the city of Omaha. When we're dealing with issues like health disparities, we collaborate with agencies like Charles Drew Health Center, Dr. Richard Brown. In Omaha, in North Omaha, in the African-American community, we are dealing with the STD crisis. I'm not sure if you saw the latest data on the release of the Center for Disease Control released the information suggesting that one out of every four female would have contracted a sexually transmittable disease in their teenage years. And that's troubling. So we know that there is a need for education, awareness, and prevention in that area. Also, we know that we have a disproportionately high rate of infant mortality in North Omaha. And so we are about educating, making people more aware of the problems and the challenges that we encounter, providing direct services where we can, referring others to agencies that provide those services when we can't. We're also an advocacy agency. We do get engaged in issues. Most recently, the ban on affirmative action surfaced. We are aware of the fact that Legislative Resolution 233-CA, however it's presented, is promoting a ban on affirmative action, although it doesn't say that in the petition or in the resolution. Now, that bill was withdrawn. Senator Mark Christensen out of Imperial withdrew that bill from the Nebraska legislature this session. However, there will be a petition initiative, a referendum, where they're attempting to acquire 115,000 signatures. It has to be proportionate throughout the state of Nebraska. However, the wording, in our opinion, is very misleading. And we feel that it's being masqueraded as a civil rights piece of legislation that will change the Nebraska state constitution. We feel that it's an attack on affirmative action programs that allow minorities and women opportunities to pursue higher education at the colleges and universities, public employment, as well as public contracting. And in those communities, in those states where they enacted that type of legislation, it had a catastrophic effect on these types of opportunities. We don't feel that affirmative action is preferential treatment. We feel that it's equal opportunity and provides opportunities for qualified minorities to seek higher education opportunities, employment opportunities, as well as public contracting. And these are taxpayer positions. These are taxpayer-funded projects. And certainly we feel that we deserve fair representation. And so those are some of the types of issues that we get involved in. Our primary focus immediately will be on preparing the next generation's workforce. We are engaged in employment preparedness. We do manage a workforce development grant, a work experience program where individuals who qualify participate in a training opportunity that will allow them to be prepared for success once they enter the workforce. At the same time, we are focusing on young adults, bridging that gap between education and employment, as well as there's a component of civic engagement, because we want to encourage these young people, once they become educated, once they become employed, to remain in Omaha metropolitan area and make a contribution to this community and be assets and taxpayers and productive citizens. And so that's the connection, education to employment, employment to civic engagement. And we know that there's a direct correlation between education and employment, employment and income, and income and economic opportunity. And that's what we're trying to promote. That's what we're trying to, that's how we're trying to educate our young adults to realize the American dream, and of course, encouraging them to do that right here in the city of Omaha. So with that, it looks like Gary has compiled some questions, and otherwise I'll...
All right, thank you, Tom. We have a lot of great questions here, and we're going to try to get to all of them. But as moderator, I get to ask the first one. Last September, members of the Urban League board used words like outspoken leader, someone taking stances, somebody at the table addressing issues and talking about how the next chief executive must do his or her job. How do you plan to meet those goals?
That was expressed to me in no uncertain terms when I was pursuing employment, when I was pursuing this position. It was felt that there was a need to have a credible voice for the African-American community. Had to have an advocate, not necessarily an activist, but an advocate, one that would present ideas and issues, that would conduct the research necessary to form an opinion based on the facts, and then to be able to present that information. And, of course, in my background, I had an opportunity to engage with the media periodically, and I've always been one that would stand up for what I believed in. I certainly have dealt with controversial issues. And just to give you an example, when I was in Washington, D.C., and I had an opportunity to visit with our congressional delegation, I was presenting to them this notion that this subprime lending crisis is going to have an impact on the city of Omaha. And to a person, criticize them, but to a person, their response was, the information that we received is that in the state of Nebraska, only 10% of the loans were subprime. 10%. So it was felt that we may not have that significant a problem in the state of Nebraska. I go, wait a minute. You know, the information that I'm receiving in the city of Omaha, particularly in the minority community, it's estimated that as many as 50% of the loans in 2006 were subprime. As I engage my counterpart, the executive director at the Family Housing Advisory Services, she's indicating that in the first 2 months of 2008, she saw more clients than she did in all of 2007. Well, you know, the eyebrow starts to raise. Maybe we're making a point. Maybe we're bringing a matter to their attention that otherwise, you know, thinking that maybe our numbers were diluted. When you look at the rate of subprime lending statewide. And so certainly when I have the opportunity to bring matters of that nature to the attention of elected officials, I will do so.
Will the Omaha Urban League be involved in the 2008 elections? If so, how?
The Urban League of Nebraska is officially a nonpartisan organization. We're a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and so our positions are officially nonpartisan. However, we are actively engaged in voter education. We are actively engaged in voter registration and voter transportation. And so the Urban League will be involved in when, for example, there'll be primaries coming up. There'll be offices that will be challenged in North Omaha, particularly a legislative seat. I don't believe the city council seat is being challenged. School board interests and particularly learning community will have provide opportunities for all of those candidates in forums to articulate their positions on the various issues that affect our community.
There are several questions with regard to policing, and by the way, Tom said that he would be open to any questions you have about that. A couple of questions with regard to gangs. What do you see as the motivation of young minority men to join gangs? How can this motivation be changed to a positive action? Do gangs create a serious problem in Omaha, given the city's size and demographics? If so, how will the Urban League work to diminish this problem?
That was a very comprehensive, multi-part question, Gary. Multiple pieces of scrap paper you had there. But on a serious note, I could tell you that gangs are a serious problem here in Omaha. As chief of police, you know, I always suggest that, in law enforcement, you deal with the symptoms. You deal with the symptoms of poverty. You deal with the symptoms of social and economic deprivation. And unfortunately, when you have individuals who live in an impoverished area, some may be prone to antisocial behavior. And so this job will actually provide me with an opportunity to deal with some of the causes of this type of behavior. And I can honestly admit that in 24 years in law enforcement, I still don't quite understand what the attraction is, why young adults gravitate to this very self-destructive type of behavior. But it's real, and I can tell you that it's unfortunate. We have tragic incident after tragic incident occur in this community where young adults are misguided, and they think that there's virtue and merit in this type of behavior. And so in dealing with the causes, first, I think, you know, obviously we've got to have some stability. We have to have some stability in those households. What you find is that when you deal with young adults and they're headed towards a misbehavior or headed down the wrong path, there's generally voids. There are voids in certain areas. There's voids at home. They may not have the family support. There may be a void in social or recreational opportunities in terms of how they interact with their peers or not be engaged in a healthy lifestyle. There may be voids in their faith. There may not be employment opportunities. And these young adults, they find themselves with too much time on their hands. And so you have to get them engaged. You have to get them engaged in something that they enjoy. You have to get them engaged in something that's productive and constructive. And then you have to educate them and you have to inform them. And I can tell you that we took several opportunities at the police department implementing prevention intervention programs, and I just like to mention two. The first one is the Gang Resistance Education and Training Program. It's the acronym GREAT. We reinstated the GREAT program in the 2006-2007 school year, and it's a program for seventh graders, and it's implemented in all the Omaha public schools, all the middle schools in OPS. It's a 13-week curriculum, structured curriculum, teaching anger management, conflict resolution, how to diffuse these situations that we feel may be triggered by something irrelevant, but will ultimately elevate or explode into a tragic situation. And so we reinstated the GREAT program. We graduated 3,000 students in 2006-2007 school year. Prior to my departure, we had graduation ceremonies for over 1,000 students in the first semester of the 2007-2008 school year. And so we took efforts to implement a program to address the behavior, as well as we offer a police athletic league, and it's a recreation program. It's free of charge. We're also in all the middle schools. We're in Nathan Hale, King Science, Monroe, Nathan Hale. And what you find with North Omaha in terms of recreational opportunities that are in proximity to a kid's home where transportation isn't an issue, they can walk. Unlike some of the other organizations, Police Athletic League is free, where others you have to have a membership. It's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's open gym. It's basketball. Kids can go and have fun, interact. And it's supervised by off-duty police officers and OPS representatives. And so that allows young adults to engage in, with police officers in a very informal environment where they get to know the officers get to know them, and they're having fun. And so I think it's important that we provide viable alternatives to our youth. We just can't tell them to leave, say no to gangs, and we have to offer an option, a viable alternative, and that's what we try to do with the gang, the GREAT program, as well as the Police Athletic League.
Another police question. How well is community policing working in Omaha? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think community policing was one of your big goals when you came on. Do you feel like you achieved that goal?
Well, community policing is a philosophy. However, there are programs that, you know, under the auspices of a community policing strategy. And what that basically represents is law enforcement working directly with members of the community identifying problems and developing strategies to those problems. As chief police, I had direct interaction with members of this community, organizations, individuals, neighborhood association groups, et cetera, as well as the uniformed patrol officers who work in the precincts, direct interaction with law-abiding citizens. And so police community relations is kind of on a continuum. I felt that we did make some positive gains in terms of improving those relationships, as I described, some of the programs that we implemented, as well as the level of participation in those programs. But it was always a work in progress. Certainly, we have our critics, as with any organization. But I do believe that, by and large, there were more people supportive of the police department. I can tell you from the interaction I had directly and the feedback that we received that were in support of the police department. And I might add, I didn't get a chance to talk about what the Urban League is doing about this gang problem, if I can. We have a program that we're going to implement, Urban Youth Empowerment. And I talked about the components of education, employment, and civic engagement. Because it's key that young adults, they see that what they're working on in class translates into a job opportunity. But oftentimes, there's a disconnect between the employer and a potential employee, not knowing exactly what it takes to qualify for a particular position, not having the types of relationships where they can recruit directly into that potential workforce. And so through this Urban Youth Empowerment Program, we'll provide those opportunities and that education because it's kind of a mismatch right now. And I think that's part of the problem with respect to high rates of unemployment. And then when you look traditionally at the workforce development programs, in order to participate, you have to be on government assistance. And then you have an ex-offender population. Well, really, these are just small percentages of the overall population. The bulk of the young adults are in the middle. They're not in families that are on government assistance, nor are they ex-offenders. And nothing is being done to target that population. And so a program like the Urban Youth Empowerment Program will address that target-rich population with education to employment and encouraging civic engagement.
Can Building Bright Futures, that initiative, maybe you might explain what that is, too, for people who don't know. Can Building Bright Futures work to save at-risk kids? Is safety and security on the streets for kids necessary before education can be dealt with effectively?
I'll take the last question first. When you survey kids or if you have a conversation with a young adult, you'll find that many of them don't feel safe in the schools. Maybe it's a perception, maybe it's real. We ensured that there was a uniformed police officer in all public schools through our school resource officer program. And so literally you have a uniformed police officer in all the middle schools and high schools and OPS, Millard, and District 66. In terms of the Building Bright Futures initiative, we have a very generous philanthropic community here in the city of Omaha. And this initiative, at least initially, it was designed to create an endowment of over $220 million to provide scholarships and tuition funding for disadvantaged youth who would want to pursue post-high school education. Initially, the parameters were within the state of Nebraska. That's UNO, UNL, UNK, UNMC, Metro, et cetera. And so our corporate leaders decided that in order to prepare the next generation's workforce, we have to provide real incentives. And so there's investments made in early childhood education with the Buffett Foundation or the Sherwood Foundation. They were able to get legislation enacted. There was an endowment at the state that was only eligible for funding K through 12. The state law was changed now where that funding can be utilized for pre-K. And there was a match requirement. Well, these individuals are not only interested and willing to come up with the match, but they're able to come up with the match. And so they were able to pool their resources and increase the capacity for funding for early childhood education. Their task force is addressing truancy. Their task force is addressing after-school programs, and then ultimately providing funding for post-high school education for disadvantaged youth. The key is to communicate that, to communicate it to the population that can be impacted and to benefit from these grants, and that's our job. We're a service provider, and I've been actively engaged in all of these initiatives, from the Building Bright Futures Initiative to the African American Empowerment Network to the North Omaha Economic Development Project, because we're the conduit, we're the service provider. The Urban League of Nebraska should be that infrastructure that will connect the program to the client.
And it can't save at-risk kids.
Well, it's being targeted. I mean, that's the population. And, you know, I hate labels. I hate to admit, you know, I hate to acknowledge, you know, that, quote, at risk. Who's at risk? I mean, who's not at risk? I mean, unfortunately, there's overgeneralization when we want to describe youth as being at risk, because there's a risk element with growing up in this day and age. And so I believe the criteria is income-based, if you will. And so when you talk about disadvantaged, you're talking about someone who may be living below the poverty line.
What is the role of the Urban League in redeveloping North Omaha, and how will your previous experience help with that?
Well, I benefit from being born and raised in Omaha, being very familiar with our issues, knowing the history, and having relationships not only with our corporate sector, our elected officials, as well as the grassroots average citizen. And the Urban League of Nebraska, we're involved in education, employment, economic empowerment. I had been serving on the steering committee of the North Omaha Economic Development Project in my previous position, and then I transitioned in my current position. I serve on a workforce development task force with that project, and I've talked to you about my interest in preparing the next generation's workforce. We're also looking at initiatives for ex-offenders to get them re-engaged with society and the workforce. And so on the one hand, individuals that are in need of employment can come to the Urban League for training and referrals. We communicate with employers so we can identify their needs. And I'm convinced that there are job opportunities out here. You know, I have conversations with employers, and they suggest that, you know, they have openings for 300 CNAs, certified nursing assistants. They have openings for 300 telemarketers. These jobs pay anywhere between $10 and $12 an hour. Some offer tuition reimbursement. Some offer a benefit package. Some offer a 401k plan. But, you know, you engage young adults 15, 18 in North Omaha, and when you say 401k, they look at you with a blank stare because they haven't been educated in terms of what a 401k plan is and what is the benefits from a 401k plan. They look at salary and wages and don't understand the benefit of health insurance or life insurance or dental insurance. And so what we try to do is educate young adults so that they understand. They understand, and certainly that there's merit to gainful employment, and that looking at an illegal enterprise isn't a viable alternative.
Will the Urban League help in the relocation of the residents who currently live in the housing project that is going to be demolished?
I believe that project is under the auspices of the Omaha Housing Authority. I think by law they have to provide relocation assistance to those residents. We will, if called upon, will assist those individuals. And as I mentioned before, when we deal with issues related to housing, we tend to network and to refer to Family Housing Advisory Services. But we certainly will partner and cooperate and collaborate with any of those organizations, and certainly if those individuals seek assistance at the Urban League of Nebraska, we'll provide a service.
What is the membership of the Urban League in Omaha? I think how many? What are the criteria for membership? What's the cost?
We have approximately 250 active members. We have corporate members. And I believe I have a membership application if anyone's interested. Shameless plug, but whenever you see me, I'll have my Urban League of Nebraska lapel pin, and I'll have a membership application. $30 for adults, $50 for family. There are other membership levels, as well as if you are interested in learning more about the Urban League of Nebraska, you can go to our website, urbanleagueneb.org.
A question somewhat akin to that: how can young people relate to the Urban League, NAACP, and other such organizations when they haven't experienced the legal segregation that the civil rights movement fought against so long and hard?
Well, I think it's important for our leadership to engage our youth and to educate them with respect to the struggles that African Americans have had to endure, those that preceded me. I feel like I'm a direct recipient of those struggles and feel a certain indebtedness to those individuals who made those sacrifices so that I would have the opportunities that I have. I try to get out as often as I can to promote the Urban League. Just yesterday, I had an opportunity to visit with middle school students at Macmillan Junior High School in the All Our Kids program, sponsored by Mike Yanni and others. And so anytime we have an opportunity to educate kids about our history, about the civil rights movement, about the Urban League of Nebraska, we try to promote our agency. We try to educate not only African-American youth, but the public in terms of the types of services that we provide. I have to admit, you know, we're in a mode of trying to reestablish ourselves. And it's my hope and my objective that the Urban League restore our reputation and our position as a lead civil rights organization in this city.
Another police question. Do you approve of a police auditor position in Omaha?
Well, I had gone on record as supporting the concept of public safety auditor, independent oversight. As you know, the position was eliminated through the City of Omaha budget. The previous city public safety auditor was terminated for cause, and since that time, that individual hasn't been replaced. I believe that the mayor in the last State of the City address indicated his support of a public safety auditor and encouraged the City Council to provide funding for that position. I think it is important that citizens have trust and confidence in the police department. You know, the fact that, you know, we're subject to review and scrutiny, whether it be the media, whether it be the criminal justice system, or the Justice Department for that matter, I recognize that it's absolutely important that our police department is professional, that they treat citizens with dignity and respect. When there are allegations of misconduct, they're investigated thoroughly, and then when those allegations are sustained, that the authority takes the proper action with respect to holding employees accountable and that there's an appropriate disposition to those investigations. And as chief of police, that's what I adhere to in terms of those principles, and I'm confident that my successor will do the same thing.
Do you have any plans to inform the community that ex-offenders who have had their rights restored are eligible to register to vote, and will you encourage them to do so?
Yes, and I could tell you that, you know, at the Urban League, we get involved in advocacy issues and where even occasionally where I may not agree with them personally or philosophically, I recognize how very important it is. Recently, due to reconsideration by the with respect to federal sentencing guidelines, and this is an issue that the city of Omaha will be impacted by immediately, and that was the disparity in sentencing for crack cocaine, where it was deemed to be 100% more potent than powder cocaine, thus the sentences should be that much more severe, when we know that crack cocaine is a drug of choice for African Americans predominantly, powder cocaine is a drug of choice for Caucasians primarily, that there's a disparity. And so through review, they determined that this, in fact, was true, and they decided to reconsider these sentences that have been imposed, and in fact, they implemented the change retroactively. And so as early as March of 2008, we could have as many as 30 individuals eligible for release. I recognize that that is discrimination. It's a blatant disparity in those sentencing guidelines. I could tell you personally, I would just as soon see powder cocaine defendants sentenced more severely, because I know the impact that drug abuse and chemical dependency has on our community. However, it's not my choice, not my decision. And so I acknowledge the fact that this disparity exists, and being very realistic that these ex-offenders that may be eligible for parole immediately, we have to develop a reentry strategy. And I'm not convinced that the federal courts have addressed it to the extent that you have the rehabilitation, you have the work release programs, you have a community that's prepared to embrace these individuals, because if they've been sitting in federal prison angry, seeking retaliation towards the individuals who may have informed on them, maybe crafting strategies so they won't get caught next time, and then returning to the same community where they committed the original offense, that's why you have such a high rate of recidivism. And so I think it's important that we acknowledge as a community that this is going to occur. I'm not convinced that the system has done enough to prepare these individuals to be mainstreamed back into society. And I think it's the community's responsibility, it's society's responsibility, it's organizations like the Urban League that can hopefully provide services to these individuals to aid and assist them when they return.
Since there are vast disparities between middle and low-income African Americans, what specific issues will the Urban League work on under your leadership?
Well, I mean, there's disparities in income, there's disparities in employment opportunity. It can be intraracial, it can be interracial. And we're looking at approaching it, you know, using a very, very comprehensive strategy. First, encouraging our young adults to get a good quality education, because we know that the more you learn, the more you will earn. And keeping kids engaged, informing them of these post-high school scholarship opportunities. I had an opportunity to visit with representatives from the Sherwood Foundation. We're not waiting for Bright Futures to be implemented. The Sherwood Foundation will provide tuition assistance for disadvantaged youth with a cumulative 2.5 grade point average that meet the other criteria for that scholarship program, and that's at any institution in the state of Nebraska. I'm not sure how many people realize that. And so it's our job to communicate to our young adults that these opportunities are available, this financial assistance is available, these employment opportunities are available. Whatever their chosen vocation is, their area of interest, if it's unskilled labor, there are jobs. I think, you know, when you see this ball field develop, you'll see economic opportunity right here in North Omaha that is accessible. It will be accessible via a bus, a short cab ride, a walk, and these are real opportunities for employment. And so certainly in the city of Omaha, we have a fairly strong economy. There are jobs here. It's important to connect a population that is underserved and to get them engaged in some of the opportunities that are available here.
We have time for one more question. I'm going to put a couple of them together here. What do you find, did you find most surprising as president and CEO of the Urban League? And now that you've been at the Urban League for a while, do you wish you were back being police chief?
Well, I could tell you, first of all, I enjoyed every minute of being chief of police. It was a very demanding job. It was challenging, yet extremely rewarding. And I felt very privileged just to have the opportunity to serve the citizens of the city of Omaha in the capacity of chief of police, and was very proud of what we were able to accomplish with respect to reducing our overall crime rate four consecutive years, achieving national accreditation, and receiving national recognition for our crime reduction programs. The position at the Urban League of Nebraska was very attractive for a number of reasons. My academic background is in social sciences and the behavioral sciences. This position offers me an opportunity to work in every area interests for me: education, youth development, economic development, housing, health, civil rights, and racial justice. And so the challenges are similar. The demands are similar. However, the stress is not the same at all. And I can tell you that I don't miss the 24/7, 365 days out of the calendar year work schedule that I had as chief of police, and I don't miss the calls in the middle of the night that typically were a result of something very tragic occurring in our community. So I look forward to this opportunity to lead an agency that is an institution in this community and restoring its rightful place, in my opinion, as being the go-to agency for individuals seeking assistance for employment, education, and housing, and other needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom Warren. Appreciate it very much. Our next Noon Forum will be April 17th, not here, but at Joslyn Castle, which will be the Press Club headquarters, from April 1st to September 1st while the club undergoes renovations. Our program, April 17th, will focus on the history of Joslyn Castle, including a tour. So join us April 17th at the Joslyn Castle. As for this program, we thank our audience here at the club, our KIOS radio audience, and a special thanks, of course, to our guest today, Tom Warren, the new executive director of the Urban League of Nebraska. And we are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Our guest speaker has been Thomas Warren, former Omaha police chief and currently chairman and chief executive officer of the Urban League of Nebraska. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, March 20th, 2008, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.